have fun with your brothers and sisters as long as you like. In the evenings and all afternoon, it will be an amazing time. Like I said, 20 people signed up from Fraternity, which is a real blessing that many are coming across. So I know that God will bless it as a wonderful substitute for family camp. Here in Zechariah 3, we find an interesting passage about none other than the devil. There's a few pieces of this sermon I won't preach tonight because I don't want to give away the series that's coming up at the family weekend on the wiles of the devil. I'll just say it will be a very interesting study, those five messages. What are the wiles of the devil? We can see them, the roots of them in the garden, but then we'll also look at many other scriptures and understand how are the ways in which the devil uses his wiles or his tricks against us, because we're told to stand against them. So it would be wise that we know what they are, and that will happen at family weekend. But here in verse 1 of Zechariah 3, the Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." So we'll stop there. We'll finish the chapter next week. But Satan standing at his right hand. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would teach us from your word. Lord, we are told to be at least wise about our adversary. And I pray that you would help us with that tonight, and that we would learn things that would help us to stand for Jesus and live for Jesus. So guide us in your truth. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see a figure, if you will, of Joshua the high priest at that time standing before God. And who do we have at his right hand in heaven but Satan himself, as it says there, to resist him? The Satan is real. If you go to Ezekiel 28, we will see his beginning, if you will. Satan is a created being, just like the angels. He's not an angel. He was a cherub that fell because God obviously created other creatures besides man with free will, the cherubs, the angels. So here in Ezekiel 28, look at verse 13. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So we see his beauty became a vanity thing. And as we know, his ultimate fall then was pride. We read that. Well, let's turn there. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. But Satan was a special being. He was like no other cherub. He was the cherub that actually covered or stood over the throne of Almighty God in heaven. which would have been a very prized thing to do, if you will. But it unfortunately led to pride. Notice verse 12 of Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the throne of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You notice the word I there over and over. That's pride. I. And what did he want? What does he still want? I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be God, essentially. Much of what we read in Ezekiel and Isaiah hasn't come true yet. Because the devil, as we read here and as we've read in other places, is still allowed in heaven. We're reading here in Zechariah. Where was he standing? At the right hand of Joshua, but in heaven. We read in Job, chapter 1. He appeared before God. He said, where have you been? He said, I've been to and fro throughout the whole earth. But he appeared in heaven, speaking to God. And he's not actually officially cast out. If you go to Revelation 12, we'll see when this happens. Revelation 12 is kind of a summary chapter, if you will, of the history of Israel and the devil. It's tucked in the midst of the chapters on the tribulation period, which is basically 6 through 18. And tucked in the middle is this chapter 12 about Israel and about the devil. And down in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So halfway through the tribulation, the devil is banned from heaven. It will make him extremely angry, and he will take his wrath out on the earth and especially on Israel. So what about now? Where is he now? Well, he's here. He's referred to as the God of this world. He is, if we go to 1 Peter 5:8, he is our enemy. He hates God. He hates Christians. He hates the Word of God. And he is real. And he has a lot of helpers. An innumerable number. We don't know until we get to heaven. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Here we are told during the church age, we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, because our adversary, our enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's many symbols of the devil in Scripture. If you go to 2 Corinthians 11, we'll see one of those, and then I'll just quote some of the others to save time. But in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, and what we find here in 2 Corinthians 11 is that the devil does not appear as the devil. You know, you see pictures on TV of him with horns and all that. That's rubbish. If you ever get to meet the devil, you'll think that he was an angel. You'll think that he was the good guy. Notice verse 14. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? Light, not darkness. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So the devil is a counterfeiter. He tries to appear as a person of righteousness, as the good guy. He doesn't try to appear as an evil enemy, although that's what he is. But he, as we see here, he appears as an angel of light. But God refers to him in Matthew 13 as the enemy. We just read that he's the roaring lion. He's referred to in Genesis as a serpent. Jesus referred to him in John chapter 10 as a wolf. And so that gives us a little bit of a glimpse. But if you go to John 8:44, Jesus gives us another glimpse of the devil and his fall. And the sobering fact that the unsaved are essentially his children, which the world doesn't want to hear this, of course. Everybody wants to believe they're God's children. But John 8:44, look what it says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. So right from the beginning of his fall, he has been the bad guy. And abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is Jesus talking to the religious leaders of the day while he was on earth about Satan. And refers to him as the father of lies and as a murderer. Just some other scriptures. He's referred to as we read in Revelation 12, the accuser of the brethren. He's referred to as the devil, as we just read here in John 8, as the dragon, as Lucifer, which we just read in Isaiah 14, as the old serpent, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, the son of the morning, which we read in Isaiah 14. And if you go to Ephesians 2:2, there's a couple of interesting descriptions of the devil, but he's also referred to as the tempter, the wicked one. None of these descriptions are good, are they? But these are God's descriptions of the devil. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's the devil. So he's the prince of the power of the air, and he is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's referred to as the god of this world. So God and his sovereignty, and yes, we can wait till we get to heaven to ask God to explain all this to us. But God and his sovereignty, when the devil was removed from his position as the anointed cherub that covereth, didn't immediately destroy the devil, but instead allowed him to come down here and wreak havoc and essentially run the world. He is referred to as the god of this world, as the prince of the power of the air. He is running this world. So should we be surprised if there's sin everywhere? Should we be surprised if the world basically hates God? Of course not. They're just following their father, the devil, which should make us that much more thankful we're saved. Amen. So back to our passage here in Zechariah 3. The Bible says that the high priest, Joshua, was standing before the angel of the Lord, and it says Satan was standing at his right hand. Notice it says to resist him. So Satan did not want Joshua in this case to be blessed. Satan was trying to stop this process. Of course, God is sovereign and said that he was going to bless Joshua as the high priest. But we see that one of the things that the devil does is he resists God's children. And again, I don't want to spill too much of what's coming at the weekend. But he blinds, he tempts, he makes us doubt, he attacks our thoughts, he tempts us with sin, tempts us to lie, he tries to lead us astray doctrinally. He is a crafty one. But the Lord, here in verse 2, said, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan." So God, again, just like we saw, let's go to Job 1, where we're given a glimpse of the devil standing before God. In this case, the devil standing before God, and God actually rebukes the devil. But in Job 1, that's not what happened. So verse 6, there was a day, Job 1, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. So who are the sons of God? Well, if you study it out, they're the angels. Sons of God in the Old Testament is not referring to Christians, and it's not referring to the line of Seth, as some people try to argue. And the reason they try to argue that is because it talks about the sons of God in Genesis lusting after daughters of men, and then giants were born. And people say, oh, well, that means they had to be, you know, if we're consistent, because we read later the sons of God shouted for joy when God created the earth. So the sons of God are not men in the Old Testament. Now they are in the New Testament, it's us. But in the Old Testament, to be consistent, the sons of God is always referring to angels. Because here they came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, so God initiated the conversation and said, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. That was the devil's answer. Walking up and down, going to and fro throughout the earth. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? People often think the devil initiated that conversation, but God did, which makes it that much more fascinating. God asked the question about Job. Satan didn't ask the question about Job. And we know what it led to. It led to the whole book of Job and all the trials and the temptations that he went through. But here he's standing before God with the sons of God and essentially having to give account for what he's been doing with this time. But now we see him, Zechariah, standing before God thousands of years later. And the Bible says, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. So there's limits. Yes, God has given Satan not free rein, but he's given him access to earth and he gets to run the earth. But God is still sovereign. God sets limits. And you and I are part of those limits, amen, because we are born again children of God. The devil cannot take us to hell. There's limits. He doesn't have omnipotence. He doesn't even have an omniscience. And in this case, God says, no, Satan, you're here to resist what I'm trying to do. You're here to resist this blessing that I'm trying to pronounce upon Joshua the high priest. No, in this case, I rebuke you and I'm not going to allow it. The Lord hath chosen Jerusalem and he rebukes you. In other words, God has just made this decision that Jerusalem is his choice and you're not going to stop it. So God assigns limits, if you will, to the devil's power and says, I am going to bless Jerusalem. Well, if you go to 1 John 4:4, you and I, because we are children of God, remember, we have God indwelling us. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when we see these limits placed upon the devil, that's a good thing because there's limits for us as well. Look at 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what is God saying? God is saying that we're not greater than the devil, but God is greater than the devil. And we have God. We have him indwelling us. So greater is he that is in us, the Holy Spirit, God, than he that is in the world, Satan. That's good news, isn't it? So yes, we are to respect him and we're to be sober. We're to be vigilant because he is our enemy, our adversary. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour, but I don't think the Bible ever tells us to fear him because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So God is showing these parameters, if you will, that he's placing upon the devil. So down in verse 4, he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Well, this is a beautiful picture of what happens to you and me, isn't it? God takes away our filthy garments and gives us robes of righteousness, which we see ourselves wearing in heaven. If you want to see that quickly over in Revelation chapter 4. Verse 4, about round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. Who do these 24 elders have to be? Well, if you study them out, verse 10, they fall down and worship him. Verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So they're praising the Lord. But look at chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This isn't angels. Angels don't sing in heaven about the redemption of the blood of the Lamb. Angels don't have robes of righteousness. Only Christians do. And angels are not going to be kings and priests during the kingdom age. Christians are. And these can't be tribulation saints yet, because the tribulation hasn't started yet. It doesn't start till chapter 6. So it really means it has to be pre-tribulation Christians that are in heaven, that have received crowns. Well, that means that they've been through the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about in Sunday school next week. And they've received their rewards, and now they're seated around the throne in heaven, praising the Lord for His redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just like we see here with Joshua, he says, take away his filthy garments, give him clean garments. He did that for us, amen? And if you're born again, you have the robe of righteousness. You will be allowed into the wedding that we read about in Matthew 22. The only reason the person was removed from the wedding, because they didn't have the robe. You've been given the robe through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is called the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew the sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So you and I have been given this robe. And he said there in verse 6, the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among thee that stand by. What is God saying? He's saying, if you'll obey me, I will use you. He's talking to Joshua the high priest. He wanted Joshua to see that the devil wanted him, but that God had drawn a line in the sand and said, no, I'm rebuking you, Satan. I am going to bless Joshua. I am going to give him a new robe. You and I have been given the robe of righteousness. We get to spend forever with Jesus. But our time here on earth, God didn't promise that it will all be rosy, did He? He said we're going to have trials. And He also didn't say that He's going to use us mightily, unconditionally. It falls on us to decide that we want to obey. If we choose to obey, then He will use us, which is exactly what He's saying to Joshua here. If you'll keep my charge. Joshua, if you'll keep my charge, I'm going to let you judge my house. I'm going to let you keep my courts. If, there's an if there, and it's the same with us, it's His children. We're going to heaven, that's done. But is God going to use us to accomplish great things for His sake, for His cause? That's up to us. We have to choose to, as He said to Joshua, we have to choose to keep the charge. And if we'll keep the charge, if we'll obey, if we'll follow Christ, God can do great things through us. Will the devil try to resist? Yes. But remember, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have God living in us. And the devil is real. The devil is strong. He is like a roaring lion. He is our enemy. He hates us. He's running this world. He's evil. Whenever are we told to fear him? We're told to respect him, to be sober, to be vigilant, but we're never told to fear him. Why is that? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And can you imagine we get to heaven and God will probably allow us to have a glimpse of what happened here on earth and in the spiritual realm that we can't see with our physical eyes? How many times the devil or one of his helpers tried to attack us and God, one of his angels, stopped it? because we happen to be in the Word or be on our knees in prayer or trying to live an obedient life, we're going to be amazed at all this stuff that's taking place that we can't see. What's the bottom line for you and me? Satan's real, but don't be afraid of him. Obey. Keep the Lord's commandments. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in the Spirit of God and he will use us. Will the devil resist? Absolutely. Look at Paul. Look how many times Paul was resisted, and he blamed the devil directly many times. But did he stop Paul? No. Paul still planted all those churches, and we're here today because of that. Satan might even be standing at our right hand right now. God's more powerful than Satan. Amen? Standing at his right hand. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for